I just want to share a message with you this morning, which I've called Come Into His Rest. And I just want to ask just a quick question just as we gather and settle and get our thoughts. It says, when you came to church this morning, did you come with the intention of meeting with God, with Jesus, and with being changed by Him? You know, it's a good question to ask ourselves when we come into this place. Am I here to do the same old, or am I really expecting God will meet me? And that He'll meet me in a specific and sometimes a challenging way, sometimes a special way, so that I will be changed from glory to glory, because the Bible says we are being changed from glory to glory. So this morning I want to look at a scripture which it's one of my favourite scriptures, and I believe it can change our lives and our walk if we begin to apply it on a daily basis. And it's in the book of Matthew, and we receive this most wonderful instruction and promise from Jesus. And it's Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this sounds like a great promise from the Lord, doesn't it? And one that should be easy to obtain. However, it does require effort and discipline on our part to see this promise come to fruition in our lives. And it's a promise that requires effort, probably on a daily basis if we're really honest. And I just want to take these three verses and expand them on them to help us in our walk of faith. So point number one is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Jesus is talking about himself here. He's telling us to come to him, and the invitation is non-conditional. Jesus simply says, come to me. He doesn't say, come to me if you feel like it. Come to me if you're in a good mood. So how do we come to him? We've all been created as individuals, and we're all wired differently. What works for one person doesn't work for another. If I want to get close with God, if I want to get serious with God, I go for a walk and I pray. And when I don't know what to pray about, I pray in tongues. Other people sit still to hear from the Lord. But the important thing to note here is that we must come to him. So whatever way works for you, believe that you are coming to him. And to come to Jesus, we must believe that he is waiting at all times. His arms are open wide to accept us as we are. If we have committed our lives to Jesus, and I think everyone here today has, and if we've asked him to be our Saviour, then we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace to find help in time of need. You know, so do we come boldly to Jesus? We can come boldly. And the reason that we can come boldly is because Jesus is our great high priest who was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. And the Bible says because of that, he sympathizes with all of our weaknesses. He knows them all. And our natural inclination is to listen to the voices of doubt and unworthiness. For example, how on earth would the Lord listen to me when I've kicked the cat and sworn at the budgie, or worse, this morning? And it's the biggest ploy of the enemy to whisper doubts into our ears about our right standing with God. But the Lord understands us. He understands why we have failed. He understands where we have failed. He understands how we have failed. And from my daily reading notes, I have this quote. It says, when we fail, Jesus immediately wants to restore us and make our lives beautiful and fruitful for him again. We need to confess our failings, you know, admit that we've done wrong, ask the Lord to forgive us, and then move on in faith that we have been forgiven. His forgiveness is immediate and it is complete. And Jesus' invitation of come to me is extended to two groups of people. And firstly, it's extended to those who labor. And there is physical labor when you're using strength and muscle. You know, it leads to natural tiredness. Now, I do a lot of running when I'm not injured. And I used to go for a 12-mile run and then I could mow the lawn. But I've noticed in the last 12 months, if I do a long run like that and I mow the lawn, I'm a little bit puggled by the time I come to the Lord. To do the lawn. So that speaks of a natural tiredness, a physical tiredness. But spiritual labor, there's a spiritual labor as well, and speaks to me of the things that we are doing that are not of God. Things that we are doing the Lord hasn't told us to do. You know, and this leads to a spiritual tiredness. And by spiritual tiredness, I mean a deflated, unenergetic feeling in time. When we think about, it's inside of us, and when we think about doing something from God, we just feel a bit flat. And our human nature, we want to do something to be worthy of the Lord's blessings. But the truth is, we can never deserve the goodness of God, can we? You know, it's been done for us. So we have to cease from trusting in our own works and rest in what Jesus has freely provided through us through grace. You know, we have to rest in the knowledge that what he has told us to do is enough. All too often, we compare ourselves to other people. You know, we might see a really good speaker and think what they are doing is more worth than what we're doing in the kingdom of God. Or we might see someone with a successful ministry, you know, food bank, feeding the poor or whatever, and think that they're doing really good things for the kingdom of God. And so we set about doing that little bit extra that God hasn't asked us to do, just so that we feel a bit more worthy, and we've got to rest in what God has told us to do. And the second group of people who Jesus has extended this invitation of come to me is to those who are heavy laden. Now, I always get a picture in my mind of a backpacker trudging up a hill with a huge backpack and with a walking stick to help them balance as they go up the hill, to help as they carry that load up the hill. And so I want to ask you, what loads are you carrying today? Are you heavy laden with anything? And we all carry loads either consciously or unconsciously. A conscious load could simply be worrying about one small thing. It could be worrying about a lot of things. It could be unforgiveness. It could be unbelief that the Lord will actually move in your situation. It can be illness. And these are loads that we instantly recognize that we are carrying. But unconscious loads can be unresolved hurts and memories from earlier in our lives, often relating back to childhood. And these affect the way we live, you know, the way we interact with others. You know, for example, we put up walls to keep people at length because keep them at arm's length because we've been hurt. And these unconscious loads that we carry almost are always the most deceptive, because we often just think that is the way we're wired, that is the way we have been created, and this is the way we act. However, these unresolved hurts and fears distort the way we were created to function. You know, I'm hoping, as I've expanded on the above text, that some of this is resonating to yourselves. I'm certainly preaching to myself as well. You know, and I say that because I recently have become aware of an unconscious load that I was carrying, and it affected my everyday behaviour. But because I recognised it for what it was and brought it to the Lord, I'm now free of it, and it's not dictating how I behave. Feels great. And finally, in this first sentence of the scripture, Jesus promises to give us rest if we come to him with our labour and our loads. So how do we come to him? Jesus is saying here to give him a chance. Look to him to find out how you should be handling a situation. And once we truly do that, he'll provide rest for us. In the second part of the scripture, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus commands us to take on his yoke and to learn from him. And again, this is non-conditional. You know, this is not if I feel like it. Jesus says, take on this yoke, his yoke. We are the ones that have to take the action. Now, yoke is something we don't see in modern-day life of farm automation anymore. But go back 100 years, and when fields were ploughed manually, a yoke was an everyday item of equipment. I've got a picture of one up here. How good is this? There's two cattle and there's a yoke between them. The yoke was made of wood with two hollowed out sections on the bottom portion that rested on the next to the oxen that were used to plough or draw a cart. And a new ox was often trained for ploughing or drawing a cart by yoking it to an experienced ox. And the yoke kept the young ox from doing its own thing, and it soon learned obedience from the older ox. So figuratively, the yoke that Jesus speaks of symbolizes servitude or submission to him. And what is Jesus' yoke? I believe it's allowing yourself, or choosing to be so close to the Lord, to walk with the Lord, walk side by side with him, that you follow where he leads and don't go off in your own direction. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? Try that one. And note the scripture does say, I'm going to come back to this, it says, take his yoke upon you. You know, this means conscious action. Jesus is asking us to submit ourselves to him. For true rest comes in serving him and not ourselves. And he also tells us to learn from him or learn from me as we take on his yoke. So we need to look at what Jesus did in the Gospels to learn what he was about. You know, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus here. And if that's the case, shouldn't we begin to see qualities and actions in our lives that actually reflect what Jesus was about when he was sent to earth? You know, Jesus went around healing people and being kind to people and helping people, you know. You know, do we do the same thing? Jesus describes himself as gentle. You know, the Lord's gentleness means he draws us by love, not force. You know, that there will be a gentle urging on the inside of us. You know, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 refers to it as the still, small voice of the Lord. You know, and that's what I talk about, this still, small voice that we can hear. We hear it here. And it's the voice of the Lord. And that's the Lord's gentleness. That's how he guides us. He doesn't shout at us. He says, come on, you can do better, Neil. Come on. You don't have to say that, Neil. That's what we want. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say it. And the other thing we need to learn is to be lowly in heart. You know, having a humble heart, esteeming others better than ourselves, being prepared to give to others. You know, esteeming the Lord's direction for our lives to be better than our thoughts about our own direction. And Jesus' yoke means doing things his way. You know, in every situation, taking a moment to think about and look for the Lord's leading. There used to be some wristbands that used to have on them WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? It was meant to be a wee reminder to take a look and think about your immediate reaction. You know, would Jesus really do this? So our yoke is like the cattle that wear a traditional yoke, to walk close with Jesus. And so at this point, I just quickly want to look at the story of Jonah. You know, and it's a very short story. It's only 4 chapters in the Bible. There's no scriptures coming up on the screen. I'm just going to talk you through. You know, God told Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. And the Bible says that Jonah decided to flee from the presence of the Lord. And as a consequence, you know, life got a little bit tough for Jonah. You know, his ship that he was fleeing on got caught in a great storm. And when Jonah admitted to the crew that he was the cause of the storm, he got thrown overboard. And a great fish swallowed him. And he was in the fish's belly, the whale's belly, for 3 days. And after 3 days, he got spat up on a beach. And in the 3 days, he in the belly had time just to sit and think, I think, you know. But the interesting thing is when he got spat back up on the beach, the call of God was still the same. Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah decided to obey this time. You know, and the Bible doesn't record if the preaching of the word was tough. It doesn't say anything about it. But what it does say is the end result was 120,000 people repented and decided to follow God. You know, I think it was it wasn't a result that Jonah was expecting. But the point was this, the yoke of God was easy. When Jonah followed it, God triumphed. You know, and I bring up this story just to ask you if there's been occasions where you've decided not to be yoked with Jesus. You know, when I was finishing Bible college, I felt that the Lord may be calling me to a little town called Yeppoon in central Queensland, which had about 10,000 people. It was a place of high unemployment. It was hot. It was stinking hot most of the year. And it was just a small, small country town. And my mate was pioneering a church there, and he needed assistance. And the Lord's call was just this tiny urge inside, like I was talking about, you know, the still, small voice of the Lord. Just to go out and help this guy, you know, my thoughts would turn towards Yeppoon. However, at the same time, I got another offer to help out at a really lively church at the Gold Coast. So guess which way I went. So I went to the Gold Coast, and, you know, when I was there, nothing happened for me. Nothing, no job happened. I was just in limbo. I was helping out, but nothing was happening. And it was at this time that actually Sandra came over. We ended up getting married, and we honeymooned in Scotland. But guess where we went on our return to Australia? Yeppoon. we went to Yeppoon, this little town, because God was speaking to Sandra as well. And we both got jobs in an area of high unemployment, and the blessing of God was on our lives. And but we had rest in our souls, because people would say, why are you going to Yeppoon? There's nothing happening there, but we just felt it was God. And we had rest in our souls because we're doing that. We're following the call of God, even though we couldn't understand it in the natural. I mean, I grew up in a town not far from Yeppoon. I hated that whole area of Queensland. It was just hot. Anyway, but we were in the right place in Yeppoon, you know, because we were yoked to Jesus. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, that's an indicator that Jesus is giving us rest. And in the first sentence of the scripture from Matthew, I spoke, Jesus says he will give us rest. But in the second part of the scripture, Jesus clarifies that he will give us rest in our souls. You will find rest for your souls. And the rest that Jesus promises will be in our souls. It'll be in our soul area. It'll be in our emotions. But therefore, our minds will be in peace. And this will permeate to our physical bodies as well. The peace is, it's all surrounding. It's all encompassing. The third point is just the last sentence of the scripture. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, Jesus says that his yoke is easy, and we've just been touching on that. And one of the reasons that his yoke is easy is because when we choose to be yoked with Jesus, when we walk with him, his peace makes things easy. You know, I'm going to continue the story of Yeppoon. So we were in Yeppoon for 2 years, and I didn't know how long it would be, but, you know, really after about a year and a half, the Lord started speaking to me, especially about moving to Scotland. Again, I hadn't wanted to do that before that. But God changed my heart. And so after we put a fleece out before the Lord. I was doing some studies and said, right, Lord, I had to apply for settlement in Britain before we could even come. So I applied for settlement in Britain, which meant sending my passport off to the British Embassy. The passport came back stamped in 5 days, working days. And it was all of a sudden, all right, we're going. But everything about that move was totally smooth. Everything sold for the price we wanted to sell it. Everything sold at the time we wanted it to sell. There was nothing hard. I kept on thinking, where's going to be the test of faith in this? It was just smooth, smooth, smooth. And it was just an example of following the Lord, following his calling, and how God made a way for us. You know, and really, one unexpected result of me moving to Scotland was that for years I'd suffered from eczema on my body, and in the first 6 months of moving to Scotland, it just disappeared, never had it since. So that was an unexpected blessing of just following God. You know, his burden is light. Jesus says, my burden will be light. And I would say, if your burden is not light, you know, I would question if we are following Jesus' plan for our lives or whether we are pursuing our own agenda. I mean, and by this, I mean, you know, we can be carrying out a plan of God in our life and can be going through tough situations, but because we're not carrying his yoke, the burden can be heavy. You know, when we are carrying his yoke, it says that his burden will be light. You know, and other times, you know, we think that we're doing something in God's will, but, you know, it's not actually God's will for our lives. We think it is. And so that burden is going to be heavy. And there's always seasons in God. You know, God will lead you somewhere and things will be easy, but then the season will come to an end. And part of us, as we listen, part of our responsibility as we listen to Jesus, we need to recognize when a season has come to an end. Because when it comes to an end and we recognize, and if we persist in staying in that season, things will start to become a bit tough because we're going to be doing it in our own strength, you know. Chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. This is one of my favourite scriptures. It's quite a long one, but I'm going to read it out anyway. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's a great scripture, isn't it? And really, our experience of moving from Yeppoon was a little bit of an example for that. You know, the Lord lifted us up and it was easy. You know, and God knows it all. He carries us. He strengthens us. You know, it talks about the eagle. They shall rise up like an eagle. You know, an eagle just glides about in the air currents. on the thermals, and the wind carries the bird, and with just a slight adjustment of their wings, it means the bird can change direction with very little effort. You know, and if this is how God wants our lives to be, that we're plugged into Him, you know, He's our strength. He doesn't faint, He doesn't get weary. And so we need to respond to Him for His direction. You know, like the eagles referred to in the scripture, you know, God will strengthen us and carry us so that our burden is light because we are yoked to Him. So just as I conclude, just, you know, want to ask, you know, does the scripture in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, doesn't mean our problems are going to go away? Not necessarily. But it means we can have peace in the midst of problems, knowing and trusting that we are yoked to the Lord, knowing and trusting that we're following Him, and that we're following His instructions. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So today, is your mind stayed on God? Are you trusting in the Lord? You know, because this whole business of being yoked to the Lord, it's a day-by-day thing. We can be yoked to Him. We can be looking to Him. But if you find yourselves worrying about a situation, it means you're not at rest. You know, you're not at the rest that Jesus has promised. You're taking it back from the Lord. You know, you're not yoked to Him for that moment. And you need to hand it back to Him in prayer. You know, and a good prayer is simply one that not like this. It says, "I don't know what to do anymore, Lord. So I'm going to take my hands off this and leave this at the foot of the cross." And whenever you think about that situation, you need to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with this problem because I've given it to you. Because I'm yoked to you. You've promised to carry it for me." And here's another quote that I read recently. I just want to apply it to what I've been speaking about. This quote says, "Church makes a terrible God. Mission works make a terrible God. But God is a wonderful God. Worship God and church and mission, all works will fall into place." And I want to suggest to you that when we worship God, we keep close to God, we obey God, we're yoked with God. In other words, we take on His yoke, that all aspects of our lives will begin to fall in place and His burden will be light and we will have peace and we will have rest. We'll have rest for our souls. You know, and Jesus promises rest, and when rest comes, revelation comes. So we need to take time out from ministry or work or whatever it is you do to make sure that you're yoked to the Lord. You know, we need to take time it's necessary that we rest. It's necessary that rest to hear from the Lord. You know, and you might say, "Well, my life's busy. You know, I once knew a girl who's in Christian circles. She was in ministry. She was very, very popular. But she said to me, she says, every now and then, she says, "I write in my diary," and I cross out the diary and I write in, "evening with Jesus." And she says, "I do not let anything interrupt that. And that is my time with the Lord because I need to rest." Sandra and I once visited a town in Germany called Blaubeeren. It's down the bottom. And it has a beautiful lake that's half covered by a cave. And the lake comes out of the mountain. And the lake is actually called the Blautopf. Now, Topf means head, and it's literally the head of the river Blau in Germany. And the water is blue as blue as blue. And when we visited this town, it was about 40 degrees. However, within the Blautopf, it was 22 degrees. And I remember saying to Sandra, I said, "God knew this place existed 1,000 years ago. And the Blautopf, for us that day, became a place of rest on a really, really hot day. And my point is this, you know, if we're serious about seeking God, God will make sure that there is a place of rest where we can meet with Him, where we can hear from Him, we can take on His yoke. You know, so our choice is whether we obey this instruction or not. You know, and we need to be prepared to walk in the consequences of our decisions, you know. And it may be that you cannot enter His rest or take on His yoke because you are making a wrong decision like Jonah did. You know, Jesus' instruction to take His yoke upon you may well mean you have to be prepared to let go of certain things in your life. It may be things that you enjoy. You know, Jesus might be saying, "Well, you know, I don't care if Fred enjoys it. I don't want you doing it." Things that you might want to hang on to because they're actually part of your identity. This is how I always react. This is how I am. And Jesus might be there going, no, you're hanging on to something. And, you know, the reasons for doing that is quite valid because we can't imagine ourselves without this thing. So we have to be sensitive to God. You know, we have to be sensitive to Jesus and telling us what his yoke is, what he wants us to take on. So I just want to pray. I just want to, a couple of things I want to pray. And if you identify with these things, I would just ask you to stand as we pray. No, Adrian, if you want to just come up to the keyboard. And one of the things I want to pray about is if you are struggling to walk close to Jesus and would like to move closer to him, if you'd like to hear his voice, if you'd like to take on his yoke, I'd just like to pray for you. And there's one other thing, and I just felt the Holy Spirit gave me a specific word for here, you know, for someone. And it was that you actually do walk close to the Lord. You know, you are making a conscious effort to be yoked to him. You know, it's the desire of your heart. But I believe you're having trouble believing God to answer a prayer. You're having trouble trusting the Lord to answer a specific prayer, even though you're yoked to him and you're walking close. It's a little bit whatever it is. And I just felt the Lord wants to touch you. I felt he wants to reassure you that you can trust him afresh about that prayer. And because he's heard the prayer you've made, he is going to answer it, and you've got to trust him. So if any of that speaks to you, I just invite you to stand with me while I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.